There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that, we're almost there, right? Is that where we are?
No.
We're almost there.
No.
Almost.
No.
As of this recording, 8 days, 9 days. It depends upon whatever. 7 weeks. Yes, we have 7 weeks as of this recording. Lee, don't expect Lee at Dragon Con this year.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? It's just kind of amazing. So right before we started recording this, I said to John, because you've heard the podcast from today with Regina, our wonderful queen regent of programming, that, you know, was anybody announced today? And John said, well, I didn't hear Regina screaming and crying into any alcoholic beverage she could find. So we're good. So I don't think anybody was announced today. But just to remind you guys of a few things, right? Registration will be open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. When the hours are posted, that's when you should start going to your registration.
Don't need
there
to go early.
There is no reason to line up. No reason.
Unless you really like lines. You're the person
there
that likes
no
the line.
There is no reason,
line.
John, stop. Help me for once. There is no reason to line up. I mean, if you really, really want to, we can't stop you. There is no reason to do so. Number two, remember, bring your card and bring your ID. And if you are picking up a badge for someone else, you need a statement from them saying, I am picking up this badge. I am allowing Lee Bennett Connor to pick up John Boutel's badge with a copy of your thinking, right? And they've got to sign that and give them the piece of paper and a copy of your Dragon Con thing.
Well, don't they also have a copy of your ID or something?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. Because it's all on the site. So you have to do that too. And then number three is if you are someone who needs some support, you have a disability or you have a temporary disability, Disability Services is at the Sheraton where registration is. And there is no way I can make a segue. So we're just going to start now. Hey, Sherry, who is one of the leaders of Disability Services. Thank you for being on the podcast to talk a lot about disability today. So talk about Disability Services, what it is, how people sign up, and everything else.
Okay, well, we have a crew in the Sheraton basement just outside on-site registration who can help people get through registration. If you can't handle the line that Lee does not want to form, but probably will anyway. If you can't wait in that line.
No line.
If you can't wait in that line, come to us and we'll run the registration for you. We also apply stickers. We have what we call our Corvette line, because if you go through the line yourself, when there isn't a line, and it's really faster now than it used to be, you'll wait longer with us than you would in the main line, assuming that it's not the first thing in the morning around the block craziness that shouldn't happen. You can come into our Corvette line and you already have your badge. We'll just slap a sticker on there after a brief conversation and send you on your way. We provide accommodations for people who can't stand in line for a long, because of various disabilities, can't stand in line, need wheelchair seating, service dogs, safe space for service dogs, proximity seating, based on what kind of
end of the aisle seating, end of the aisle seating,
seat in line, end of row. Yeah.
End of row. Thank you.
Yes,
I knew I had the wrong line. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
You call that the what? I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Which one? Who?
You, Sherry.
Cilior. S-I-L-E-O-R. Cilior.
Oh.
It's our personal little in joke. Yeah.
Okay. So
sign language. I'm sorry.
See, if we only knew ASL, we would get the inside jokes. Oh,
yes.
I should have kept up with it. Okay.
Well, we do provide interpreters. We have not quite 20 interpreters working for us this year, not counting some volunteers on top of the other ones. So we're covered up in interpreters this year.
That is wonderful. That actually is great because I know it's been tough sometimes to find interpreters. So that's really great that you've got more. So yay.
Yeah.
Now, there are some changes that have gone on this year too. But so, as you said, for the most part, you can find this at the Sheraton. But if somebody picks up your badge because you can't get to the Sheraton, there it is a little pockmark on that sidewalk. And, you know, maybe there's some issues. So somebody else has picked up your badge. But you still need a sticker to have for your disability. Where else could you get that sticker?
In Eternal Registration in the Marriott. And I don't remember the exact room number, but Eternal Registration. We have people there all day Thursday. And then the rest of the con, they'll be in the Marriott Atrium. Might be a little bit harder to find, but they will be there.
So just to, because we go over this pretty much every year, but just to kind of let everyone know, the getting a disability sticker doesn't give you special access or anything like that. I mean, it gives you what do they call it? Fair and accommodating access, but it doesn't allow you to show up, you know, a minute before the panels to start and then they got to kick somebody out or anything like that, correct?
Our goal is fair and equal access for everyone.
Right.
In the main programming areas, our line, that we have a line with chairs outside the ballroom. Mm-hmm. Our line will go in first, but that is not by Disability Services didn't make that decision. That's a security decision for safety, because when the main line opens and people go run screaming to the front and grandma's with her walker trying to get over to her chair, she will get trampled. So mm-hmm. that it kind of looks like they get special consideration there, but it's really for the safety of all congoers. Everywhere else, you have to wait in line just like anybody else. You just might wait in line in a chair somewhere off to the side instead of in the main line with everybody else.
And I also wanted to say that just because somebody is getting it because of disability services, because people will say that sometimes they're like, why do they get to the front? That doesn't mean they are on the very front row. There are lots of levels of disability, as we just talked about. You could be end of a row, end of an aisle, end of a row. You could be needing to be able to see an interpreter. There are lots of different levels. So don't, we're being equitable, people. But, you know, sometimes you need a little more time to be able to get to your seat. Even if your seat is just, you know, 10 rows back or wherever, it's still, you need a little more time, and that's what we're doing.
One of the biggest problems we have is with people looking over at our line and seeing all these people that are walking into the room, and they, to someone, just anybody's eyes, they look to be perfectly normal. There's these things that are called invisible disabilities. Right. You can't see that this person has a condition that makes their joints stretch way too stretchy and means that their blood vessels can rip if they overexert themselves. You can't tell that guy has a heart condition. The guys in the wheelchair, they're pretty obvious, but there's most of the people we serve are people with invisible disabilities. You can't look at them and tell that they have a disability. They are disabled though. And we have an interview process that we go through to make sure everyone going through that gets an accommodation through Disability Services does have a disability.
And as somebody with an invisible disability or accommodation or whatever term you want to use.
Yeah.
The chronic condition. The accommodation is what we do to help. Right. So with somebody who has an invisible chronic condition that you can't tell, just know that not everything is visible. Right. It's not what it always used to be, or in those awful, awful 80s movies where everybody who was blind was wearing the dark glasses and whatever, you know, all those awful, awful stereotypes from the 70s and 80s that are not true. So we are fixing them now. But do know that. Yeah. Now, there's also a new, I don't want to call it policy, but a little bit of a procedure policy.
We're calling it a policy. Yeah.
I don't want to call it a policy, but you'll go ahead and call it a policy.
Call it whatever. I was wanting to make sure about service animals, especially service dogs, guide dogs.
Service dogs.
Right.
Yeah. Last year, right before con, one of the hotels put out something saying, hey, we're pet friendly. And I saw on social media right before, like days before con, literally, people are saying, oh, I'm going to bring my pet. Oh, I'm going to bring my pet. And last year we had a huge mess because when you bring your pet, you're risking the chance that that dog is going to distract a service dog. A service dog is a trained animal that's going to, that provides some kind of service that is medically necessary to that person. So if this person has a seizure alert dog or a medic alert dog, and your pet who's yapping and barking and behaving like a pet would when they're in a very stressful situation, which dragon working dog, the result could be catastrophic. You could have a person have a seizure. They could have whatever medical issue the dog is supposed to alert to, not alert because of that distraction. So we had to implement a policy to try to keep out all the pets and the emotional support animals and everything else. Only service animals can come to Dragon Con. Service animals are dogs or miniature horses. And we have never seen a miniature horse. I've never seen a miniature horse in my life other than on video. So they're very, very, very rare. The new policy is that every dog that comes through disability services, the person will receive a sticker and it says safe space for service animal. And they will be seated along the outside edges of banks of chairs where the dog is not in danger of being trampled by people moving in the aisles. The dog will have a little, like the little paper, not really, it's not paper, wristband things they give you at an amusement park will be on the dog's harness or collar or somewhere on the dog, plainly visible. If the dog and the person have both their pieces, when they go through a door, no questions asked, they go in. They have already done all the steps they need to do at disability services. If a dog comes into a door and doesn't have those two things, they will be asked the two questions that we are allowed by law to ask, which is this dog a service dog because of a disability? And what task is this dog trained to perform for you? If you don't have the sticker and the wristband, then you might have to wait before going into doors because security is a little bit nervous about having to do this. And they're probably going to call my people to come in and check on it. So if you're trying to bring a dog that isn't a service dog, please, please, please don't do it. You could be hurt. You could seriously be causing serious issues to someone else.
And so the, you know, because it's been in the news and whatnot, there is a difference between a service animal and a support animal, correct?
Yeah. A support animal is just an animal that gives comfort to the person it's with. Comfort is something that animals, dogs specifically, but any animal can, they just do it naturally. They don't have to be trained to come cuddle mm-hmm. with you. They don't have to be trained to do anything. So emotional support animals don't have that. There's service dogs go through massive amounts of training to be able to do what they do, to be able to behave the way they behave in crowded environments and restaurants and stores and wherever else they have to go. The support animals don't have any of that training necessarily. Their owner might give them a little bit of training, but they are also not recognized by the law as having that right of universal access that the service dogs do.
Right. And so this isn't some sort of discrimination against people that need that or those animals. It's just logistically at Dragon Con, when there's 82,000 plus people, it's if they aren't trained, as you said, it's just
it's not fair
chaos.
To the dog.
It's not fair to the dog. It's not fair to the people around them.
If I tried to bring my dog, right. I mean, I have two very wonderful, sweet, very friendly, pretty well trained dogs. But if I brought them to Dragon Con, they'd be a quivering mess on the floor in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Dogs aren't used to that kind of crowd and that level of stress.
Exactly. Right.
And to bring your pet to something like Dragon Con is not only a disservice to your pet, but it's also a disservice to the people who have service dogs who have the right to be there.
Yeah.
And it is something. And again, remember something. When you see service dogs, folks, they are working. They are working. As much as I want to pet them, I do. I desperately do. I love all the puppers. But you know, don't pet them because they're working and you can't not, as we talk about other dogs and cats and emotional support animals being a distraction. Think about if 82,000 people tried to pet that dog. So don't right. do it.
Or don't even if, one of the things, my second is blind and has a guide dog. One of the things that happens to us frequently when we're coming to Dragon Con meetings or working, moving around in downtown is that somebody's going to say, you know, come here, puppy. Woohoo, come here, puppy. And that momentary distraction, if I wasn't there, if Sherry was alone and someone calls mm-hmm. to her dog, then she could walk into a wall. She works for MARTA. She's around MARTA trains a lot. She could fall off the platform. I mean, all kind of, if that dog is not focused on what they're doing, horrible things can happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're trying to nip this problem that we had last year. We're trying to nip it in right. the bud.
And, you know, and no one is saying that, you know, if you have your pet in your hotel room, there's a very difference between that and then I would assume having them right. in Dragon Con. So,
right.
you know, think about that too, folks. It's, we have some great hotels that are very pet friendly. I know that many of the SPG hotels and also the Hiltons have that as a policy, but that doesn't mean you get to bring your pet into Dragon Con.
Right. So it's the common areas that everyone's hanging out in that this is a,
right.
where the issue right. is, right.
Okay. Where it's a concern. Right. So good. Okay. And then what else do people need to know about disability services? And because it's not just in main programming. We also have that in the track rooms and maybe some of the smaller rooms as well.
Everywhere should have it. Yeah.
You got it.
I'm sorry.
No, I said you got it. So
yeah, okay.
go.
Yeah.
Go,
everywhere. Go. Everywhere in Dragon Con, disability. I have people working. My people are stationed in the main ballrooms of each hotel and at the registration area in the Sheraton. We do, however, move outside of those spaces and try to cover other areas as we can. We also do training and all kinds of information sent out to the track directors mm-hmm. so that they know what their responsibilities are and what they need to make sure that their staff, their volunteers know, so that when someone comes up to their door, which we tell them, go, you know, if you need a seat in line, you go to the door, you knock on the track room door and say, I need a seat in line. They need to know that's a responsibility that they can't just say, oops, I'm too busy to take care of that. Stand there for 10 minutes, which could have severe consequences for the person with a disability.
Exactly. And I will tell you all, we're all scared of Sherry. So we listen to her because she may be small, but she is mighty.
Well, and every now and then I get to walk into a track room and call over the director and I say, yeah, somebody just complained about you.
And you go, oh, man. Oh, I'm going to go beat somebody. No, I'm not going to beat them, but I'm going to tell people again, remember, we have rules. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really just to make sure that everybody can access the joy that is Dragon Con.
Exactly.
If you have a disability and it takes so much longer to get anywhere, to do anything, it really saps your strength. I don't know if you've heard of the spoon theory, but I bet you have.
I know I have. Yes.
It's just the idea that you, as a person with certain kinds of disability, you only have so much energy, and they really have to decide what they're going to spend that energy on. Mm-hmm. And whereas other people can just go do everything they want and run and never, you know, the rules for volunteers say you have to have a certain amount of sleep every night because we know that most people don't. So the person with a disability doesn't have that option. They have to manage what they do so that they can get to see what they really want to see.
Yeah. And it is tough, folks. You know, the spoon theory is basically that each of us only has so much in a day that we can give to doing what we need to do. And that's the spoon. So let's say you start with 12 spoons a day, and certain people, if you haven't heard of this theory, so maybe you have MS and it literally takes on certain days, two of your 12 spoons for the whole day, two of your 12 spoons just to get out of bed, just to get out of bed. And then think about those 12. So now you're down to 10 and it takes another two spoons just to shower and put your clothes on. Right. So now out of that 12 spoons, you're down to 8 and then you got to get between the Marriott and the Sheraton. Come on. That's a lot of spoons to get between the Marriott
and the Sheraton through a solidly packed habit trail
with
a couple thousand people in there.
Yeah. So it's just, that's what the spoon theory is, if you haven't heard of it, but it is, it really does, for those of us who have that kind of, that's sometimes how you have to plan your day. It is something very different, and it is something that a lot of people don't think of. So just think about it that way too.
Now,
it's a different way of planning your day.
Now, this is the first I've heard of this theory. Now, can I ask a question though? I mean, not to be, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but why spoons? Why was it spoons?
I've always wondered that myself, actually. First came up with it, that's what they used. I don't know.
I actually have read the thing, because it was a friend and her friend. Two women were going out, and one of them was someone who had a disability, an invisible disability even. And her friend was always like, "You're always canceling on me. You're always canceling on me. Why are you canceling on me?" And her friend, they were in a restaurant, and she basically leaned over because she could see it. And she said, "Hold on a second." She went and she grabbed a handful of spoons. It was the first thing she could get to. And she said, "Think about these spoons that I have in my hand are your whole day.
All right.
This is what I have to do, all my tasks in a day." And so that's what they did.
So if there were, let's say, veggie patties next door, it'd be called the veggie patty.
Been able to get to the veggie patties or slices of tomato,
or fortune cookies. Could have been the fortune cookie.
You can think about it. I have 12 fortune cookies in a day. I have 12 spoons. I have whatever. Yeah. And some days you get extra spoons. It's awesome.
And some days you don't even get your full amount. So
yeah. And some days you don't get your full amount, or yesterday you spent way too many spoons and you're already starting at a negative. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks.
This is the most I've talked about a spoon ever.
That's probably very true. But it's just a good way. It's a kind of a visualization technique to think about. Oh, that's what you mean. That's what you mean by, like, you're tired and it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes, this is why I am tired and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You got it.
So, yeah. Sherry, tell us how you got involved in Dragon Con and in disability services.
Okay, well, this is going to be a very strange story.
All of the directors' stories are strange.
Yeah, we have one director, even myself, and even John, who does 50 Days. Ask him one time how he got into 50 Days, because it's a weird story, too. Stories are weird.
I don't even remember.
That's Welcome to Dragon Con.
Well, I was sitting in my home outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, where I worked as a sign language interpreter for an agency that interpreted all around the city. And I was looking for a picture of a dragon for something, I even forget what I was doing now, but I was looking for a picture of a dragon and Googled dragon. And once something that came up was Dragon Con. And I was just interested because, you know, I had never really been to a big convention, but I was part of a group that set one up when I was in college, a very tiny one. So I was just scrolling through it. And I saw Marilyn Teague was the director at that time, and she had something about needing ASL interpreters. I was an ASL interpreter. That would be cool. So I talked to her and I signed up and I came down and worked as a volunteer for several years. I don't remember exactly how many. I'm going to say about 5 or 6. And then she was starting to back off a little bit and need a little more. She was running out of energy, I think, in some ways. And one, it was switching over to the parade more. So somehow I was told I was the director. Without really quite knowing what was going on. And then I just
E.G., she didn't run fast enough, as we often say. Okay, there you go.
Yep. And this will be, I believe, my 20th year. So been doing it for a while now. And
face to me. I've seen you all the years I've been there. So yeah.
I don't really even go. I mean, back when I was still doing more interpreting, I would go interpret for the people that I really wanted to see. But I don't really get to see much of the con. I'm working pretty much every minute, although I do go to bed around 10:30 every night and wake up at 6:30. So I get my sleep. Nothing can take that away from me.
Now, is there a guest over the years that you've seen that really sticks in your mind that you've enjoyed?
Richard Dean Anderson I'm a big fan of Stargate, and he was one of the last ones, I believe, that I interpreted for. And there was a group of deaf people that I was interpreting for, and there was some photographer that was sitting there, and I'm standing in front of the table interpreting, and he had jumped off the table and run off into the audience and done something, and they come back and was standing on the floor in front of the tables, as was I, and everybody in the group was kept waving at me to move over, move over, move over. So I was moving over and moving over, and then before I knew it, I was like within touching distance of him, and I kind of looked over my shoulder and like, and yeah, the photographer took pictures, but she never sent them to me. So
oh, I'm sad about that. No.
But yeah, he was very entertaining. I don't even remember why he ran out into the audience now, but he ran like all the way to the back of the Hyatt Centennials and then all the way back to the front. He was fun.
Now, I know that you're super busy, but is there anybody this year that you would like to see if you had, you know, even a second free time?
I'm probably a very bad person. I haven't really even paid attention to who's coming. My second is a big Star Trek fan, and she usually drags me to some Star Trek stuff. We used to do used to be Miss Klingon Empire. We used to do that all the time. I don't think we've done it only once or twice since it's been Miss Universe. And we also like to go to Filk, believe it or not. We every now and then in the evening, we put off our bedtime plans and go listen to some Filk.
Ah, there you go. We finally interviewed the Filk directors, I don't know, a couple episodes ago, and I got to finally figure out what Filk really was. I think I mentioned this on Regina's when talking to Regina, but my impression of what Filk always was it had to be basically Lord of the Rings themed, and that was it.
I wanted to ask this: why did it have to be Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. It just sounds like it's supposed to be, and then you know, a lot of the people that a lot of the bands are bards of something, and so then I connected the two and thought that that's what it always meant. But hey, guess what? I was wrong. I learned something new, and turns out that I've apparently been listening to Filk all of my life.
Filk is great.
Yes.
It would be Jonathan Colton in many ways would be early would be probably considered Filk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Curious. So I just find it funny that of all the things that you were like, I love that you were like, it had to be Tolkien. I'm just, like,
I don't know why.
It's
just in my mind. I always had this impression that that was the case, that they were always, they only sung songs about carrying rings to mountains. That's all.
Really?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
So what are some other things moving back away?
Of all the things, I'm just like, I wonder where you got that, but that's funny. Okay.
So what are some other things that people need to know about disability services and about, and about, you know, helping those people out. And this is what I want to bring up, because I always like to bring it up, especially during this particular conversation. Elevators. Shall we talk about them for a minute?
Please.
The bane of my existence. Elevators. Think about it this way. If you're a person who's on wheels, person in a wheelchair, and you're trying to get from the lower level of the Hyatt, and you have something that you have to get to over in the Marriott, and so you have two elevator trips, one in the Hyatt, one in the Marriott. For someone who's walking that and who is able to dodge into an elevator very quickly, you might take you as much as 20 minutes if that's a really crowded route. Maybe more if everybody's doing the go down to go up thing, which I absolutely hate. If you're on wheels, that trip from the basement of the Hyatt to the lower level of the Marriott could take you over 3 hours. We've had people document how long it takes, because if you're in a wheelchair, you can't move as quickly. So everybody else who got there after you streams past you into whatever rare open elevator arrives. And then you're standing there looking at them and they're all like, well, nope, I'm not getting out for you. I'm not getting it, the amount of people that just stare at the person out there who was in line before them to get into an elevator and just, sorry, too bad, you're out of luck, and move on, is kind of scary sometimes. If you can take the escalator or the stairs, please do. The person on wheels doesn't have an option. They have to take the elevator. They can't take the stairs or the escalator. So just try to be considerate and think about what other people need rather than just what you need in the moment.
Has there ever been, I don't know how to say this without, you know, I don't know. I'll just say it. has there ever been a push maybe to put security on the elevators to try and fix that?
Multiple times. I mean, people, we've received so many complaints about elevators and so many scary stories. There was a drunken group that shoved some lady in a scooter off of the elevator on some random floor because they wanted to see how many people they could stuff in an elevator. I mean, just scary, scary stories. We've been asked multiple times to try to staff elevators. Well, first off, the elevators belong to the hotel. DragonCon doesn't have the kind of control over those that would require. We've tried to put signs in elevators saying, you know, please be nice. Please think about other people. The hotels usually have torn those down. I don't know if that was the hotels tearing them down or because we're not supposed to put flyers anywhere either. So maybe it had something to do with that. I don't know. But we've not really been able to do anything. What we tell people, if you're in an elevator and you've waited more than a reasonable amount of time, find a hotel person. Find someone with a little hotel badge on and the fancy clothes. Sometimes there's a phone somewhere in the elevator bank that you can call and connect to somebody. The hotel people are your friend if you can't get somewhere via elevator. They can show you to service elevators. They can stand in the front of a door and elevator says, everybody off, this person's going or nobody's going. They can do those things. We can't. So if you're facing an elevator and you've been there more than 20 or 30 minutes, longer than anybody else that's been waiting, find a hotel person and they can help you.
Yes, please do. So that's the elevators are the bane of the existence. So just think about it this way. What if it was you?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it that way.
And that's one thing that a lot of people in the disability community would like people to realize is that you're just one small accident, one small medical condition away from experiencing it firsthand. Right. And nobody wants that. But please just think before you do things.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to say is also because we talked about disability services and we kind of talked about this as more of a permanent disability. But the other question there is, what if somebody is like they've broken their leg and they have a temporary disability and they may need to be able to sit down or things like that nature? Can they come to you as well?
Yes. A temporary disability is still a disability. If you can't walk at the speed that, you know, that would be good for you, if you can't stand in line, if you can't go up and down stairs for whatever reason, that's a disability.
Right. And I actually knew the answer to that question. So that was good because my husband a couple of years ago had knee surgery that we thought would be healed by DragonCon. It wasn't. And he was in a wheelchair. So there you go. So if that happens or something like that, don't think your DragonCon is ruined. You can go and talk to disability services. It'll be great.
Yep.
Yeah.
They'll help you out.
We do our best.
They do. And they're wonderful people. So yeah.
Now, do we know if anybody, I'm going to go back to the elevators for just a second. Do we know if anybody has done a scientific study of going up to go down or going down to go up is actually saving anybody anytime? It seems like it wouldn't.
Nobody out that I know of has studied it. I know that everybody does it. Apparently, I don't. But
can we get can we get the science track on this? Maybe have them maybe perhaps do some research on the matter.
Which track?
The science track.
I think you know what we know the director of the science track.
Yes.
I think we've already talked to him.
Yes.
So maybe we can ask.
Do they do actual research, or do
they
talk about research other people have done?
Oh, they're actual scientists. Do their own research. So yeah. Cool.
We should definitely bring that to them. I think that Georgia State University did some kind of study at some point not too long ago about it had something to do with the sidewalks. They were mapping the sidewalks around DragonCon, trying to find areas that were problematic. Maybe we should talk to them and see if they could come do that.
I mean, because it just seems like it isn't saving anybody any time because it's just causing all sorts of other problems, right? So,
anyway. Well, I think another problem is the elevators become some sort of big social thing. more so than a mode of transportation. You're spending time with this little group of people and getting to know them for that short little ride.
Yeah. All right. So is there anything else that we need to make sure that we cover as far as disability services is concerned?
We have a website. I don't have the exact, I don't have it written down in front of me. It's a Disability Services Guide to DragonCon. It should come up pretty quickly on Google. We have every accommodation we offer, every service we offer. We have information for people with autism on where quiet spaces might be found. We have information on the service, the new service dog policy, how to get scooters or wheelchairs rental. Everything related to DragonCon is on that website.
There you go. And yes, you can rent a scooter.
Yes.
Or a wheelchair.
You might want to start calling now because they usually do run out.
They do run out, but you can get one. It's awesome.
Cool. All right, Sherry. So what we like to do with our guests before we say goodbye is to play a little game.
From the world's worst games ever found.
This one, these questions
these
come
terrible.
These questions
terrible, Sherry.
These questions come from Family Feud, the Marvel edition.
This
one's
not
bad.
It's not really Family Feud. Why don't you just admit it's not really Family Feud?
Well, it's some Marvel characters thrown on a page with numbers assigned next to them. Typically is what that is. It's not really Family Feud. But what I will do is I'll participate with you and Lee, and we'll ask the question. You give Family Feud style, just say what you think the best answer is. You can do what your answer is, or what you think that might be the highest scoring answer. It's up to you. And then when whatever the points are, there is the points that you get. And then we move on. And at the end, we just see who has won.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Sure.
Sherry, have you listened to any of these before yet so far? I understand we're all busy, so you may not have.
I haven't.
Okay, that's okay. Let me explain. John has really, really crappy games. Okay. He got these in the please take them off our hands in bin in like Tuesday morning or TJ Maxx or something. So they're really, really weird. So it is perfectly fine to play the system and say, okay, after I've heard the first one, I know I'm not going to answer what I think really is the answer. I'm just going to try to get points. It's perfectly fine.
Okay.
All right. So here's the first.
That's what we've all been doing. So you're all right.
Here's the first question. If you could have a Marvel superhero as your sibling, which one would you choose? Sherry, we start with you.
Ooh. Well, given that I'm not totally familiar with the Marvel universe, my first answer is going to be Deadpool, but I don't want him as a sibling. He's way too rude. So I would have to go with Wolverine.
All right. Lee?
I'm going to go Marvel.
You have
Universe,
a type.
Who I want as a sibling, because that would be wrong. I'm not going to answer that one. I'm going to say Captain America, Steve Rogers.
Is he Marvel?
Yes, he is Marvel.
I can't tell. I don't know DC, Marvel. I don't know.
They've been in a movie with Tony Stark. They're Marvel.
All of the good films are Marvel.
Other than Wonder Woman and Deadpool.
Well, Deadpool's
Marvel too.
Yeah. Deadpool was a Marvel movie.
Yeah, other than Wonder Woman, if it was a good movie, it was Marvel. If it was depressing and you wanted to cry, it was DC.
Okay.
Except for Wonder Woman.
She's nice.
Yeah, she is. She was pretty cool.
I will say Tony Stark, because, I mean, that means I'm probably...
That means you're probably loaded. Get
some money.
That is true. You got loaded and you got some money. That's not bad.
Loaded in two different ways, by the way, when we're talking about Tony Stark. All right.
You got it.
Captain America. Captain America's on the list for 14 points.
Woohoo!
Wolverine did not make the list.
Aww.
Iron Man did. I'm going to say that counts since he is Iron Man.
Yeah, Tony Stark, Iron Man. Yeah. I am Iron Man was what Tony Stark
said.
So that
was 15 points. Also on the list, number one was Spider-Man, then Thor, Iron Man, Captain America.
Number one was Spider-Man?
Yep. And then Hulk and Black Widow and Hawkeye. Hawkeye was number seven.
Hawkeye was on.
I don't know why Hawkeye. Whatever.
But Deadpool wasn't. But Hawkeye was.
Okay. Whatever.
All right. Sherry, coming to you again. If Nick Fury retired, what Marvel hero would be the best choice to replace him as director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What Marvel hero would be the best to replace Nick Fury as director of S.H.I.E.L.D.? If Nick Fury was to mother effing retire.
Deadpool.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
That would actually kind of be awesome.
He was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent briefly. Lee.
I'm going to go with Coulson, and don't tell me he's not a Marvel hero.
He's not a Marvel hero.
He is complete. Is he really not on this list?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet.
It's Coulson.
I'm going to go with the obvious answer, which would be Captain America.
Of course. Or Peggy Carter. Peggy.
Captain America is the only one that was on the list from our... Iron Man. It was Captain America, which is number one. Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Spider-Man, Black Widow, Hawkeye. Are you starting to catch on?
No. The same list.
It's essentially it is.
It does exactly sound like the same list. And
like I said, by the way, they just Spider-Man randomly assign numbers.
The director of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's 12.
Yes, that is true. It's not as disturbing as Black Widow, who was a freaking Russian spy.
Then she became a good guy. Not a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the term? Okay, I'm done. All right, go.
She's not involved in the
witch hunt. I'm telling you, these are so bad. See how bad they are? They're terrible. I told you.
All right, if you could blame a Marvel villain to get out of a parking ticket, whom would you pick? Sherry?
Oh,
Marvel villain.
Go with that D answer. Go with that D answer.
Deadpool?
He's not technically a villain.
Gee.
He's an anti-hero.
Anti-hero, yeah. I have no idea. I'm...
This one is tough. Right.
Yeah.
So, say it again. I want to make sure I understand.
If you could blame a Marvel villain... to get out of a parking ticket, whom would you pick?
Oh, I'm blaming a Marvel villain. Oh, yeah. Been wrong. Okay, wait. All right, so let's share.
I still blame him. He's an anti-hero. He's almost a villain.
This is true.
I have no idea.
A Marvel villain to get out of a parking ticket. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Victor Von Doom. Fantastic Four. But I have no idea why.
Dr. Doom. Okay.
Dr. Octopus.
Okay, Dr. Octopus.
That's
okay.
A good one. Doc Ock. Good one. I've got points for that. Points.
I will go with... Kingpin. I'll go with Kingpin.
Kingpin's a good one.
Actually, Doc Ock is the only one that's on this list.
For 6 points.
Loki was number one. Doc Ock.
Loki?
He's not really a villain either.
He kind of is.
In the comics, he's more of a villain than he is in the Marvel universe, in the cinematic universe. But Green Goblin and Venom round out that list. All right, let's see.
Okay, wait. Why am I trying to make sense of these? Stop. Lee, you've been doing this too long. Stop.
There is no sense on any of this.
I don't know why I keep trying. Okay.
If you could have a statue of an Avenger in your front yard, which hero would you choose? Sherry?
Given that Spider-Man's been on every list so far, I'll go with him. Although why, I really don't know.
Okay. He was an Avenger.
Good answer. That's a good answer. I will go again with Captain America.
I'll go with who would be our friend Kim's answer? Hawkeye. I mean, because
that would be my answer too, in some ways, but no.
But it looks you know, he's got the bow and everything else. It looks like
he
it belongs
he
in
look
a
pretty awesome.
Looks
he
like
would,
it belongs in there,
awesome,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like it belongs in front yard. Okay, Hulk was number one, so that's not. Captain America was on the list, and Spider-Man was on the list. Spider-Man for three.
Like a statue of the Hulk in my front yard.
That just doesn't sound good.
Going from the bottom to the top, Spider-Man, Hawkeye, Black Widow, again, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, and Hulk. The Hulk was number one, Thor was number two. I guess Thor would make sense, too. it's sort of the hammer. Well, and Thor, else
yeah, Thor kind of makes sense because I mean there is that kind of you know majestic.
Yeah, it's Norse. God yeah, God.
Yeah,
thing,
I could see that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Last question, and then we can all Thank put goodness. Ourselves out of our misery.
Thank
God. name a pet peeve that makes you so angry you could turn into the Hulk. Not involving elevators.
Oh, why not?
My mind was going.
Name a pet peeve that makes you so angry you could turn into the Hulk. And I, without looking at the answers, I bet that this is just a regular, like a what would be a regular question on Family Feud, which would be like, you know, name a pet peeve type thing.
I'm a fairly easygoing person. Not a whole lot gets me really, really angry. Lee, it's your turn.
Talking during movies.
Talking during movies. Sherry, did you give us an answer, Sherry?
No, I didn't. I cheated.
No, she cheated. She let me go first so she could think of
something. Oh, gotcha.
I figured that out. No, gotcha. She didn't.
And it didn't work because I still haven't thought of anything.
I tried to help.
Now, people at the grocery store who yell at cashiers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yes.
Now, in honor of Dragon Con in Atlanta, I will say bad driving.
Don't ever go to Boston. They're even worse. Believe it or not.
Today at work, some people from Oracle came in and they brought us out to lunch or whatever, and they were from Boston, and they were complaining about the driving here in Tampa, and I'm like.
They have lost their minds because like, I've been to Boston. I'm like,
so have I.
A gajillion times better.
I'm like
a gajillion.
Are they going too slow? Is that what your problem is, or is it? What is your?
They go, did they not wait? What is one of your interstate numbers, John?
75.
Okay,
I-4, 95.
They weren't going 175, so therefore.
I don't know. I guess it was I don't know what their problem was. I was just looking at them weird because I was like, I've driven through Boston a couple of times. And yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So where are we at? Pet peeves. All right. Hey, bad driving was number one.
Okay.
Okay.
I will disagree that is a pet peeve. I was just, yeah.
Let's see. Rude or nasty people. I'll give that to Sherry for 11 points.
Heck yeah.
And what was yours, Lee?
I said talking during movies.
Using a cell phone at inappropriate times. I'll give you that one.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you. Thank you.
All right. So, So laziness was last on the list. Then using a cell phone, lying was another on the list. Chewing loudly or with mouth open. Rude/ nasty people. Bad behavior, which seems just like a generic.
Yeah, that could be anything.
It could be any of these things on here. And then bad driving was number one. All right, cool. All right, Sherry. So let everyone know again where the disability service location is. If they need to check in and get the stickers. And
we're on the bottom floor of the Sheraton, just outside on-site registration. As you're trying to come into the building, there will be people shouting, on-site registration this way, pre-sales this way, and there'll be a tape on the floor with a sign that tells you which tape color to follow. We're the one just outside on-site registration.
All right, cool.
And again, don't show up early. Make a line for registration.
Don't need to make a line.
V says you don't need to make a line, and I trust V.
And then if you can't make it over to the Sheraton, you can go to the Eternals check-in, which
is... Eternal registration in the Marriott, but you have to have someone else pick up your badge.
Oh, yes, because you got to have the badge. That's right.
Got to have the badge, because then you can get stickers.
Yep.
So
there are different stickers than the stickers I give out. You don't have to give anything to charity to get those stickers, but you have to talk to people about what you need for your sticker, because their stickers mean something.
And people, just be general rule of thumb. Just be nice to everyone, and then you don't have to let people.
What struggles other people might have that you don't know about necessarily.
Right. That's exactly right. Because again, everything we saw in those 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even 90s, and some of the early 2000s movies about a disability, that's not really what it is.
Right.
So remember, things change. There you go.
So, until next time, for Sherry and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hulk smash! Don't use the elevator wrong!
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.